Political Watch with Graham Richardson.
And Graham Richardson joins us each and every Friday afternoon. Hi, Richard.
Hi, how are you, mate?
Not too bad, mate. How are you?
Excellent, thank you.
That is good. Mate, the big news story in the last, I suppose, 24 hours probably will be the big news story across the weekend is that the Ben Robert Smith story. I see that the latest coming from the Telegraph, veterans have condemned the, they call it the bang for the blood of Ben Robert Smith that followed yesterday's defamation judgment. Of course, as we know now, Justice Anthony Bosanko's federal court judgment found allegations that Ben Robert Smith was a war criminal who murdered innocent Afghan civilians and disgraced his country was absolutely true. The Afghan Special Forces veteran Heston Russell said those calling for Ben Robert Smith to be stripped of his Victoria Cross were misinformed. He said, "This is not a war crimes case. It has not been tested in a criminal standard." It hasn't yet, Graham, but it may well end up that way.
Well, I think there's an inevitability about it. I don't see how civil criminal charges don't follow. They must. We're talking about the taking of a life here. So it's not some trivial crime. It's not a misdemeanor. It's a very big crime. It's something that I don't think you can sweep under any carpet. No carpet's that big.
Peter Dutton was on TV this morning. He was also asked whether he believed that Ben Robert Smith should be stripped of his medals, and he said that that is a case for the Defence Minister. Now, the Defence Minister, well, it's the Defence Minister, the CDF, and the Governor-General to decide. The Defence Minister was asked that question today, and he was deferring as well. Who really is the person that's going to make this decision, and when will it be made, do you think?
The Minister has to make the decision.
Right.
In the first place, but okay. He's not going to make it without the Prime Minister's concurrence. He's not going to talk about that, but he'll be giving Albo a call and saying, "What do you reckon, mate?"
Right.
That's what's going to happen, and then you see where they're prepared to take it. But things don't look good for Ben Robert Smith, and I've been a great defender of his all the way through. But I have to say, the evidence of his colleagues is pretty damning, isn't it?
It is, mate. Yeah, it really is. As most have said this afternoon in their comments, though, I mean, none of us were there, so none of us know exactly what happened, but the comments have certainly been damning, that's for sure.
Well, I don't see how you can take a benign view of it. It's pretty serious stuff, this.
Richo, Philip Lowe this week basically gave Australians advice. I've got to be honest, I've been saying now for a while, in just my humble opinion, that Philip Lowe seems to be completely out of touch, and I support that by some of the things that he has said in the past, and it certainly continued on Wednesday. This is what he was telling us to do on Wednesday.
The underlying issue here is supply and demand in the rental market. The vacancy rates in many cities are very low. There are a few things that have contributed to that.
Mm-hmm.
During the pandemic, the average number of people living in each household declined. People wanted more space, they were working from home, rents actually declined for a while, and people said, well, rather than have a flatmate, I'll just have an office at home. And so the average number of people living in each dwelling declined, and that increased the demand as a result for total number of dwellings. We need more people, on average, to live in each dwelling.
So, Richo, when do you take in a boarder?
No time soon, mate. There'll be no boarder coming into the Raleigh Street, I can assure you of that. I think he's getting a bit carried away there. I take the view that every man or woman's home is their castle, and it's up to them what to do with it. They don't get told by a banker, and I'm certain the consonants will be there, what to do. They shouldn't be.
Do you think his contract as the governor will be renewed?
I don't think it should be. I think he's had a good innings. I think we should have a big party and send him off really nicely, but send him off nonetheless.
Okay. The Institute of Public Affairs said governments need to intervene to prevent the closure of plants such as Eraring, warning that no base load power station should be allowed to close unless and until a like-for-like baseload replacement, be it a coal fire or nuclear, is ready to come online. The Institute's report released this week says renewable energy targets mean other dispatchable baseload power stations will also be forced to close sooner rather than anticipated. And the report also notes that despite the optimism of renewables advocates, the state's entire network of large-scale wind and solar projects provided about the same amount of electricity as Liddell did in its last year of operation. Richo, each and every week we seem to talk about this. It is an absolute mess at the moment, isn't it?
It is. It all comes down to the fact that people are way too optimistic about the future of renewables. Renewables have not developed at the pace their advocates told us they would. They just haven't, and they're not going to. I think that's the thing, you know, we've just got to come and admit it and say, okay, they're not going at the pace that we hoped. Therefore, we've got to put up with some inconvenience, and we certainly have to put up with maintaining our coal-fired power stations for longer than we had previously said.
How much bloody-mindedness is involved in this in reference to, you know, people like Chris Bowen? I suppose this is what I've said I'll do, this is what I want to do.
Well, I mean, I think there are too many pig-headed people with their head in the trough here. I think the snouts in the trough are too many anyway. I think we should be just stepping back, having a good, calm look at where our energy future is. And then the first thing we do when we do that is admit that coal's part of it for the next 50 years. Once we admit that, then we can build. Yeah. But if we go into stage saying, well, we're cutting out coal, it's just rubbish. If we do that, mate, then you'll be out there buying candles, I can assure you.
Governments don't want to talk about nuclear power, which seems... it seems like a contradiction when we're talking about nuclear-powered submarines coming to Australia.
Well, I mean, I think that people start to get used to nuclear power ideas. I mean, we've been very anti them in Australia for a long time. But you're quite right. Having nuclear-powered submarines coming in and out of our harbours, I think it's going to get us a bit more used to the concept of nuclear power. And there's no question that nuclear power has to be a major part of our energy mix in the future.
In a speech in Adelaide on, was it Monday or Tuesday night? I think it was maybe Tuesday night. Anthony Albanese basically said, and I'll paraphrase here, but basically people that don't support The Voice, we're chicken littles. A lot of people didn't take nicely to that. I was surprised. They released what he was going to say prior to the speech, so we were able to talk about it, and most commentators did. I thought as a result of that, they may suggest that he changes those words, and that wasn't what happened. He actually called us all chicken littles, Richo.
He did indeed. Well, one thing about Anthony, you can't say he doesn't lack courage. He's certainly got a ton of guts, and he showed it the other night. But whether it's the right way to go is another matter indeed. I think, you know, one thing I've always maintained is that when you're a politician and you're building a house, you build the back door first, because you're going to need it a lot of times.
Well said. I'm going to ask you an odd question, but it came as a result of a story that I read this week. A leg of ham. Yes, a leg of ham. Mongolian vodka. Puffer jackets. Cooking classes. They were among gifts that state politicians received in the lead-up to the March election. According to the latest interest disclosure register for July to December of last year, members of parliament received 49 bottles of alcohol and more than 200 sports tickets. But just the one leg of ham, I believe...
So what? I mean, do we really care if someone gave them a couple of tickets to the grand?
No, of course not. But I wanted to ask you, what was the most interesting gift that you had to declare?
Well, I was given a $20,000 watch once.
Wow.
Yeah, wow. It was a Chinese guy.
Yeah.
I forget, but it was a relative, either daughter or something, that I got citizenship for.
Right.
Or permanent residence. And he turned up at the office, asked to see me, and gave me a $20,000 watch. which I had to explain to him you couldn't do in this country. It was just not a goer.
Right.
And he thought it was just quite, you know, the normal way you would do business.
Right.
He wasn't trying to be offensive or do the wrong thing.
Right.
He honestly thought he was doing the right thing, but I didn't finish up with the watch, mate.
Was he offended that you said no?
I think concerned rather than offended. Concerned that he was, causing offence.
Right.
And I assured him it's no problem. It's just that in this country we didn't do things that way.
I've got to say, a $20,000 watch is nowhere near a bottle of Grange. What did O'Farrell? He had to basically fall on his sword because of a bottle of Grange Hermitage.
Yeah, which, you know, I remember making a comment at the time saying, well, I would have complained if he gave me a bottle of Grange and said, why didn't you give me a dozen, you lousy bugger?
Senator Farrell held talks in the United States with Chinese commerce ministers last week, and that's a fortnight after visiting his counterpart in Beijing for the first in-person meeting between Australia and China's trade minister since 2019. The Chinese government have removed its ban on Aussie timber soon after that trip, and the minister is now very optimistic that China's close to dropping its sanctions on Australian barley. Richo, if this happens and they do drop those sanctions on Australian barley, do you see the bans on wine and seafood being lifted as soon?
Yeah, I'd say that it's the beginning of a process which will see trade freed up again. And I think Don Farrell's done a magnificent job on this. He just works away quietly. He's not one of those loudmouth guys. He works in the shadows most of the time, but he works very effectively.
He was in the news again today, and he's quietly, as you say, quietly fighting for the right of Australian producers to use names such as Prosecco and Feta on their food products. A pending free trade agreement between Australia and the European Union could ban Aussie products from using those names because they're geographical indications. We won't be able to say that we're making a Prosecco or that you've made feta cheese. I remember a story, a true story. Brian McGuigan, local hunter.
I know Brian.
Yeah, local hunter superstar. Wonderful man, he and Faye. And they bought some property on Hermitage Road. I owned a property on Hermitage Road in Pocolban. We had a business there on Hermitage Road in Pocolban. It's one of the roads in Pocolban. Broke Road off Hermitage Road off Broke Road. Anyway, he called his label, his wine label, because the vineyard that he bought was on Hermitage Road, and he called it Hermitage Road something. And it ended up in court, and he lost. He had to change the label. He wasn't able to call his wines Hermitage Road because of the same sort of thing in reference to geographical indications. So based on that story, it looks like the tourism minister, Don Farrell, may have a bit of a fight on his hands.
He probably will, which just shows how absurd things have become. And Brian should have been allowed to use Hermitage. I mean, why not? I think, we do get so precious, don't we?
Oh, yeah.
We really do. They should let me run the world, mate. I'd clear all of this out.
You do a good job, Richo. Scott Morrison has signed a book deal with a Christian publishing company in the United States. Surprise, surprise. The former PM is expected to release a series of reflections. That's how they put it, rather than the traditional memoir, after signing a contract with Thomas Nelson Books, which is a Christian imprint of major publisher HarperCollins. Scott Morrison let the cat out of the bag when he updated his register of members' interests last week to list his royalties advance. I suppose another prime minister leaves the role and gets a gig to write a book. This time, though, not a memoir. It'll be something different. It will be a series of reflections. I don't know whether I can see many people buying
that
book, to be honest.
What's the difference between a series of reflections and a
No difference at all. But I just don't know whether I can see many people buying that series of reflections and reading it.
Oh, mate, I can't wait for it to come out. I'll be first on the queue.
Well, they tell me you were one of the first people in line to buy Malcolm Turnbull's book when it came out.
Well, I had to see what he said about me. But actually, I never did buy Malcolm's book, mate.
Were you given a copy of it?
No, and I'm happy about that. I'm happy about that, but I certainly wasn't going to give the bugger money.
Yeah, okay. Labor's...
Mind you, he doesn't need much, does he?
He doesn't need any. Anyway. I mean, he doesn't need any money. Gosh, I'm just... We talked about, you know, some of his cock-ups this week. I mean, I'm thinking of... he started years ago when he banned those light bulbs. You know, the NBN... Snowy 2 points.
Well, he banned sex as well, remember?
Yeah, that's right, he did too. The bonking ban. And Snowy 2.0. I mean, goodness me.
Yeah, that takes more energy to pump it up before it comes down to make energy. I mean, it's a negative energy producer. It's a real dumb thing to do.
Oh. Dumber than they come. On that note, I'll love you and leave you. Have a good weekend.
Good on you, mate. Same to you, and I... wish the best to all our listeners in Newcastle.
Thanks, mate. See you, Richard.
All right, mate. Bye-bye.
And that is Graham Richardson.